All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton here to dig a little deeper with you into John's epistles. This week, looking at the next chunk of 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 27. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are all not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. All right, that is our text this week. Being abiding in the Son, because the Antichrist are out there. Again, as we talked through Revelation, John's epistles are the only place where the word Antichrist is actually used. And it is primarily in this section here. There's a couple other places in 1st and 2nd John, but here we have really the focus of John's attention on who and what the Antichrist is. And he reminds them of his place among them and their place with him. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. The Antichrist is not singular, as many among the dispensationalists would like to say, but the Antichrists, plural, are anyone who denies Christ, as we will see throughout this week's study. Didymus the Blind tells us, these things are not said of all who teach false doctrines, but only of those who join a false sect after they have heard the truth. It is because they were once Christians that they are now called Antichrist. Going really into the next verse here, as Didymus the Blind is running through a lot of 1 John at this moment, that they went out from us. Those who I am labeling, John says, those who I am labeling as Antichrist now, they were once part of us. This is who the Antichrist is. This is not just all heretics, all false teachers. These are the ones who know the truth and teach against it. Martin Kretzmann says in his commentary on this, even as the mystery of iniquity was already at work, preparing the way for the rise of the one great Antichrist, the Pope of Rome, so the Christians of those days saw and were brought into contact with many small Antichrists, many false teachers whose doctrines were at variance with the eternal truths of the gospel. All these factors were, even to the Christians of the early church, signs of the end. The Antichrist is coming. The Antichrist is here because there have been many Antichrists. Kretzmann talks about the one large one and the office of the papacy, as we have talked about in Revelation, as we have talked about in the Confessional Corner, as we went through the treatise on the power and primacy of the Pope a few years ago. We have all these things showing us the true anti-Christian nature of the office of the Pope and everything that is said about him. But all of these things go all the way back to the very beginning of the church, where even John says it's the last hour. We know it is the last hour. And they are the Antichrist because they went out from us but were not of us. for if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So Ecumenius in the 7th century tells us, some people will ask where the Antichrist have come from. And the sad answer is that they have come from our midst. That way they can pretend to have all the credibility of true disciples and stand a better chance of seducing the unwary. They became disciples first, but then departed from the truth and invented their own blasphemies to replace it. This is the problem. This is what John is facing throughout his epistles. This is what we get in 3 John with Diotrephes, is that he was a disciple of John, but now has gone his own way. And this is why we have such great things to talk about the Antichrist and the man of lawlessness, as Paul calls him in 1 Thessalonians, is that he comes up from the church. The Antichrist come up from the truth, which is why Luther and Melanchthon and Chemnitz and Gerhard and Kretzmann and all of the Lutheran commentators in between can point to the Pope and say, there we have the rise of the Antichrist. There we have the fulfillment of Scripture. Because he does have things that are done just because he said so. I mean, that is what the office of the Pope has come to, and what the current Pope really makes people wonder about as to what the Catholic Church is doing now. Because if they kind of listen to most everything that the Pope says, the Pope has said quite a few odd things throughout his time as Pope. And yet, you know, nothing's supposedly changing in the Catholic Church. But that's kind of the thing. Even recently when he has said that all religions are basically like different languages saying the same thing. No, that's not what the church teaches. That is not what John taught. Otherwise, we wouldn't have all the epistles talking about all the false teachers. John goes on to say in verse 20, you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because there is no lie in the truth. John knows his people. He writes to them because they know the truth. They have been well catechized in the Scriptures. They have dug deep in what the Scriptures they had, whether it was just the Old Testament or whether they had some of Paul's epistles or one of the Gospels laying around. They dug deeply into them. They knew the truth. And then he goes on to say, well, here's how I know you know the truth. Verse 22. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. The Venerable Bede in the 8th century summarizes it very well. Denial of Christ is the supreme lie. A lie so great that it is hard to think of anything which can be compared to it. It is a lie which is evident among the Jews, of course, but the heretics who do not believe in Christ in the right way are guilty of it as well. It is also the case that Orthodox people who do not follow Christ's commands are guilty of denying that Jesus is the Christ, not because they refuse to give Christ the love and devotion which is his due as the Son of God, but because they treat him as if he were a man of no account and are not afraid to contradict what he says. Who is the Antichrist? Yes, it's all the big names. It's the Pope. It is the people who have gone off to create all these different heresies and all these different false forms of Christianity. But it's also you and me. When we fail to treat Christ as the Son of God and treat him like he's just one of the boys, like he's just here as one of our buddies, this is how we become the Antichrist. And it can be just a simple, momentary denial, but it's a denial nonetheless. John goes on, No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. It's a very obvious statement here. No one who denies the Son has the Father. You can't have a parent, a father or a mother, with no child. The child has to be there to prove the parentage. So also, the ones who do not have the Son of God do not have God the Father either. And this has been said, John says, from the beginning, as he even started off 1 John. That which was from the beginning that we have proclaimed to you. He said, let that abide in you. Venerable Bede again, who I believe I said in one of the previous episodes, is becoming one of my favorite church fathers throughout this digging deeper experience. Follow with all your heart that faith and that teaching which you have received from the apostles at the beginning of the church. For only this will make you partakers of divine grace. Follow with all your heart can be very questionable. But follow with all your heart that faith which has been from the beginning from the apostles. This is what we seek to show. Even in the confessional corner, as we go through, starting in January, again, the Book of Concord and all of the confessions of the Lutheran Church, but not just because they are written down in a book, but because there is passage after passage after passage of Scripture all through those writings to prove what is being said. That as I stood before each of the congregations I have served as their pastor and proclaimed and confessed that the unaltered Augsburg Confession is a true exposition of Holy Scripture and a correct exhibition of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. That the Apology, the large and small catechisms of Luther, the small called articles, the Treatise on the Power of Primacy in the Pope, and the Formula of Concord are in agreement with this one scriptural faith. All of it goes back to the Scriptures. All of it goes back to the Old and New Testaments being the inerrant Word of God. And so John also says that to his readers. This is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This is the promise that we hold on to. Hilaire of Arles said, Christ promises that we shall receive 100 times over in this life and eternal life in the next. As he says in Matthew 19, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Hilaire of Arles just making that very clear in that moment. The Venerable Bede says, John adds this as if those who want to know what point there is in following Christ. What are we going to get out of it? The answer is that we have been promised eternal life. What is so important? What is so special about following Jesus? Jesus is the only one who has promised us eternal life. And Theophylact asks the very question that's on your mind right now. What is eternal life? It is that we should know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. As Jesus himself prayed in the high priestly prayer in John 17. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. This is the truth that John's disciples, that John's parishioners have heard from the very beginning, ever since he started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says here, to end our verses this week, I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. What is the point of the Christian life? abiding in Christ, abiding in His Word, His promise, ultimately of eternal life. But that eternal life comes because you have been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been given a place among the people of God, the family of God. You have been given a room in heaven. That is what is so important about Christianity. That is what keeps us going after, fighting for the truth, fighting to keep the truth out there so that it is still proclaimed and not hidden off as many people want to have it done, not as the world wants it to be, hidden off into our own little compartmentalist idea of, well, this is what we do on 1 hour of Sunday morning. No, this is what shapes our lives, because this is what we are called to abide in. That way, we can wrestle with the theologies around us, pointing out the truth, pointing out the Antichrist, because that is one of our jobs, is pointing out where everything has gone wrong, where the lie is, so that we can proclaim the truth. All right, we're going to stop here. We will finish up chapter 2 and get into chapter 3 next week as we look again into the faith that is necessary for the children of God. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, thanking you for digging deeper with the scriptures, and I pray that as we have looked at the Antichrist once again in John's epistles, that knowledge strengthens you in the truth and equips you to wrestle with the theology around you today and always. Amen.